Thank you for joining us here today at Freedomizer Radio. Apologize for the delay, but up next is Brother Gregory with Keys of the Kingdom. And after that, we have a Truth Treasury episode for you.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God. And we got delayed a little bit in this show, and so I'm not sure exactly how far we can take this, if we're going to do an hour or a half hour, but we'll just play it as we go. We've been talking about, and I promised a number of people that I would continue on this approach to the church organization, part one and two, which actually we're now in part of nine, I think, of this series on the subject. And I'm going over this document that somebody put together, and they missed some very important points. And this is how I've watched over the years. I've got over a half a century of study on these subjects, and I've seen how people get themselves into all kinds of trouble because they put something in the wrong place. They have pieces of the puzzle, but they put them together incorrectly. And usually the problem is vanity. Sometimes the problem is that they've just been told incorrectly to begin with. They've been given a false impression. I mean, like reading the Bible. Almost nobody reads the Bible without previous concepts and ideas that are given to them, that they have come to accept because of, you know, when they were 2 years old or 4 years old or young men, they were, or women, they were taught certain things about the Bible. They get the impression that the Bible, like, for instance, is about religion. But you change the definition of religion and you change the whole viewpoint that the person picks up the book. They're picking up the book to find out what God's thinking and about what you do when you go to church. But, you know, the pieces are already mixed up because the reason you went to church before is to be welfare to your neighbor or to receive welfare from your neighbor. That's what the church was. That's what altars were. They were social welfare systems to take care of the needy of society. I saw a video and I commented on it in my Facebook page where somebody had shared this anonymous video where these people were walking through evidently the streets of London or somewhere in England. Everybody had an English accent anyway, and or what I perceived as an English accent, and they were wearing the famous masks of you know, the V for Vendetta guy who tried to blow up Parliament centuries before. And so they're wearing that, those anonymous masks, and they're going through and protesting, I guess, whatever they protest. And they saw this fellow on the side of the road, or on the side of the street, who had a sign and needed help. And he turned around with a megaphone. He said, "Everybody should give this guy something and help him out. But otherwise, what we're doing here doesn't mean anything if you don't give." And so everybody gave him, you know, some money and some change and everything, and helped out this poor guy named Stefan. And I complained about the video because what's Stefan going to do next week when the crowd doesn't walk by? Somebody with a megaphone doesn't say, "Give to Stefan." And he was emotional, and of course they're playing great emotional music in the background when they're listening to the video. But it's a distortion of what is needed to fix society. you know, just like protesting. You know, I've got videos up on Not My Tea Party. Because, you know, everybody was sending their tea bags to Washington, D.C. to protest. And I complained about that. Because they think that they're actually doing something by doing that. And it's great that you all get together and you do something as one. But that ain't the dance. That ain't going to do anything. Sending tea bags to Washington, D.C. is not going to change anything. Before governments will change, men must change. And so what they needed to do is all those guys wearing those masks, they get to know each other. They can wear the mask in public. They can do all that kind of stuff. It's an eye catcher. But they need to organize themselves into the most common form of free government that has existed throughout the history of mankind. They call it the tens, hundreds, and thousands. Or the tens, hundreds, and or tens, fifties, hundreds, and thousands, whatever. But it's a network. 10 people get together. They connect themselves with another group of 10 and that with another group until they, so that all you have to do is tell 10 guys something, 10 or 11 guys something, and the whole nation will know about it the next day. It's what they were doing when Paul Revere was supposedly, you know, riding through yelling the British are coming, which of course Paul Revere didn't do. He did in the poem, but in real life he got lost. And somebody else delivered the message because they were a network. It wasn't just Paul writing. Everything was hinged on Paul. Paul Revere got lost. He didn't make it. You know, he got mixed up, and I think he was actually even detained. But they didn't just have one writer. But, you know, the real guy who made severe progress, and all he was doing is going and telling some men, and then they would go out and tell other men. He wasn't gonna, I mean, was he gonna run this horse all across New England all night long, and that horse would be dead in the morning? It wouldn't even make it to morning. He just went and told a few guys, and then they went and told the next guys, and they went and told the next guys, and the numbers increased because they were a network. They were organized. Nothing wrong with being organized. The anonymous people are basically, I guess, they're kind of anarchists. Or anarchists can be organized. Anarchists in Spain were building schools and roads and everything else. Just because they're anarchists doesn't mean that they're going to be tipping over buses and cars and setting things on fire. That's just a looter. That's just a rioter. Someone who doesn't want a ruler who exercises authority wants a leader who is titular. He will help you organize, but he isn't going to boss you around. He doesn't make law for you. That's what an anarchy is. It's without arche. And so the church is without arche. So the church is an anarchy because we're not allowed to exercise authority one over the other. Now, the churches you have now in the world are chaos. That's why you have 40,000 denominations. There's only one denominator of the church, and that's Christ. Christ said, love thy neighbor as thyself. He said, don't covet, keep the commandments. Don't steal, don't rob, don't murder. So there you have, you don't need any more laws than that. Everything fits within those basic concepts, and most of you don't understand all of them. But, you know, I have a friend who, you know, I've known for years, and he keeps writing me these long letters and sending another one all about, you got to say Yahweh. Coming in the name of God, Yahweh, Jehovah, whatever you want to call him, is coming in the character of God. It has nothing to do with what you pronounce in your mouth. It has to do with the spirit that you're operating on. So those guys really wanted to help. They would organize themselves in tens, hundreds, and thousands, a network, no different than the French underground. It's just common sense, and the Christian underground did the same. And they formed this network so that you can get a hold of all of them. It's like a phone tree. But they also are going to get Stefan's name, where he lives. And somebody is going to check on Stefan, make sure he's okay. They're not just going to throw a bunch of money at him. They're going to see, what could Stefan do? How can we make Stefan more independent, more self-reliant, and make sure that Stefan doesn't starve or die somewhere? Somebody's there for him. That's not going to make, you know, unless you put the right music to the video, it's not going to be as moving or touching, but it's going to be real. And this is what the church is organized to do, supposed to be. Most churches don't do that. If you need anything, they send you to men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority, even though Jesus gave specific instructions not to do that. So this guy doesn't seem to get that the church is not established by us. It's established by Christ. We're to conform to Christ, do what he says. This is how you create a relationship. He says in here, bottom line, if I don't know you, then I won't stretch forth the hand, you know, as a vote for you or for the office or whatever, because I don't know you. Did the Good Samaritan know the guy who needed help in the ditch? Did he necessarily even know the innkeeper? He might have. The fact is, he was a doer. You know, the fact that Jesus even told the story of the Good Samaritan, that would be like, you know, in the Christian community, telling the story of the good, maybe Muslim now, because Muslims are on the, don't like Muslim list anymore because of Muslim terrorists. But they're saying, he was saying Samaritans. Samaritans were considered the dogs of society, and yet here he's saying the Good Samaritan is better. He's going to be closer to the kingdom because he's actually doing it. He's helping people he doesn't even know. And he's helping them to get them stronger and healthier, and probably going to give them lectures about, you know, traveling alone in strange places and all these other kinds of things. But he's going to try to help the guy, really help. Who was helping Stefan? They were throwing a bunch of money at him, playing fancy music and feeling good about it. That's not the answer. So anyway, we've talked a great deal about this. We'll make all these shows eventually available in a series that you can listen to. One of the things he says in here, an elder is elected by the church. Wrong. An elder is not. I mean, the word you see in the Greek language that they translate into elder, you know, is presbyter, which means an elder. Elder of what? Elder of a family. The head of the family, the eldest father of a family. That's an elder. You can elect an elder to a particular office within the church to do something as part of that network. And you can assign him a certain task if he wants to do it. It's all voluntary. But that's preconceived thinking. Now you think that somehow being an elder in the church, why? And you can see it constantly in this guy's document. He's trying to create tribunals who settle disputes, who pass judgment. Who are those guys? Those are lawmakers. No, it doesn't work that way. Not a free society. Free society, every 10-family congregation is a jury within a network. They don't decide fact and law. How do you pick a jury for Dyer? You pick one, he picks one, you pick one, he picks one, and you agree to let the, when you finally agree, you let these guys, you guys, we can't seem to come to peace on this. Whatever you guys decide, we'll go for. You empower the jury. That's the way common law works. It isn't some man making laws for you. I just saw, I think it was a picture of Morgan Freeman on Facebook when I was waiting to come on the air, and he's saying, now let me get this straight, something to this effect, that you don't think men can govern themselves individually. You think that only special men can govern millions of people by authority. That's despotism. If you want a free society, you have to set your neighbor free. You don't want to create tribunals making rules. You're going to have to forgive your neighbor for being slack or lacking or whatever it is that he does. and you're going to have to care about him and work with him and do what you can to love him as much as you love yourself. Set him free as much as you want to set yourself free. And you have to do this with real action. And this is what the church was doing. And like I said, at that particular time, Pentecost, thousands of Jews accepted Jesus Christ as king, went and got this baptism of Christ instead of the baptism of Herod, became a part of a social, kicked out of one social welfare system, now in another social welfare system. Most of them probably didn't need social welfare. This was these are the first guys out. Who are these guys? These are the self-starters, hard-working individuals who produce most of the products of society and were probably the heaviest taxed. And now they could not be taxed. They had to choose to give to the minister of their choice, who was in charge of the social welfare, the health, education, and welfare, the FEMA, the Faith Emergency Ministry Auxiliary, of a separate government from that of the Pharisees, who all decided, we have no king but Caesar. While the Christians decided there is another king, one Jesus, and didn't care what Caesar said, didn't need to, because they're now in another government recognized by Pontius Pilate and millions, eventually, of Romans, Ephesians, Corinthians, all these people, many of them were becoming Christians. They were opting out of one system and opting into another system of private religion. In other words, private welfare. It wasn't entitlements. It was based on free will offerings. That person. Those are the people that make society operate. They are the hardworking, industrious people. You could see that the coffers of the Pharisees were suddenly had lots of people who wanted to get their EBT cards and their welfare, and not so many people that are hardworking. Now they're paying their tithe tax to the Christians, to the Christian ministers of their choice. And I'm sure they were issuing a deal. Yep, paid in full. Whatever you pay, that's what Jesus gives you, this whole parable, how his government works. Say, if you were a part of his government, and this opportunity doesn't present itself now, but the opportunity to begin to move in the direction of doing this does present itself. This is why the instructions start, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You want to put this together now on the ground. But eventually it will come a time where when tax time comes, you'll have a choice. Pay taxes to the government of mammon or the government of God. Of course, all hell will be breaking loose by then. There'll be shortages and people will be starving and there'll be diseases and there'll be forced vaccinations and all these things. You know that's coming. I mean, I don't need to harp on that. But you'll be a part of a system that operates by faith, hope, and charity. A part of a system full of people who care as much about your rights as you care about your own. You have to create it. You have to begin to walk in those ways. You have to begin to literally come in the name, the character, the virtue of Christ. This is why you're gathering. This is why you're organizing. But how is the structure put together? It's put together by the tens, hundreds, and thousands. By ministers who are titular. If you looked up the definition 200 years ago of a republic, specifically a pure republic, it would say that the leaders were titular in name only. They had no authority, no power. They couldn't draft you into an army. They couldn't force you to pay taxes on your labor. They couldn't force you. They wanted you to own your own land so that you wouldn't have to owe any taxes on that. That's what a republic is. Now, if you create a democracy in a republic and then you borrow and take benefits from it, you can end up under those kinds of taxation schemes. But that's over in the democracy within the republic. If you read the American Creed or studied it in school when you were going to public school, like they're going to tell you, yeah, right, that the American creed is, I believe in the United States, a democracy within the republic. You don't need to learn all this complicated law stuff. I mean, we've got it. We've got it written in books. The books are free. You can read it, and certainly some of you need to learn it if you have a penchant for that. But what you really need is to learn to love one another. You learn to gather together, not because you're all lovey-dovey with each other and you know each other, but because you're learning to care about one another as much as you care about yourself. Like the Good Samaritan. He gathered with this individual who needed help. Can you imagine the bonds of friendship that were created because he helped out this guy beat up in the ditch and nobody else would? You don't get the bonds and then create the congregation. You create the congregation and that creates the bonds. And I say create, I shouldn't have used the word create. You come together in free assemblies because you're not actually coming together in anything corporate. Now, the ministers, they're in what we call orders. That's a term we use today, but that's simply a congregation of ministers. If they have met the full qualifications of Christ, which are the cleverest legal scheme I have ever seen, if they meet those qualifications, they are corporate, but they're a corporation of Christ. But they have to, by the time they do that, they cannot live of the world. They can live in the world, but they don't live of the world. And that's going to take a lot of work, and the laborers are few. It's going to take some support. And the flow of the organization is what is important. You have to start caring about others and supporting those who are clearly caring about others. This is how it works. But it is not the elders who create the church. It was Christ. It's the elders who conform to what Christ said to do, who edify the church, give witness to the minister, give them covering. Because somebody's going to come along and say, why do you say you're a church? Well, I'm not going to say I'm a church because I say I'm a church. These men say I am a church. This is exactly what Christ did. Thou sayest I am a king. Hail, highest son of David. Tell them to stop saying that. Even the rocks would cry out. And of course those stones, those rocks, he's saying the ministers. And we see in the biblical text that many of the people who were a part of the government at that time, which was Pharisees as well, were secretly favoring Christ as king. But they get it secretly because the anger and animosity of those who oppose Christ. And you see it today, you know, with your progressive socialists. They're so violent and angry. You know, that they can try to appear calm at a time, but boy, if you buck them, they will come against you. I mean, that's you see the pictures of these people who these girls who strip down and they attack people in churches and throw excrement on them and all this kind of stuff. There's almost none of that is coming from the Christian community, which is not fully Christian. I don't know who is really Christian or not. I can tell you what you want to look for to find out if you're Christian, not because you say, Lord, Lord, but because you're doing the will of the Father. And the will of the Father is that you take care of one another through faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty and stop forcing one another to provide benefits for you when you are in need. Because if you do that, then you're living by the sword. So we've laid out, and I've gone over this guy's stuff, and I've looked at it. It talks about covenant relationship. The only covenant relationship you have is you and God. How you flow your charity within the network, how you learn to love one another, that's up to you. You have to do that. Nobody else can do that. He talks about through an alignment process they agree that the church is a formal and permanent religious society. No, Christ agrees. The ministers of the church who formally, personally agree within each individual minister, congregation, or order, they agree. The people agree by their offering, by what they, if they care about their neighbor and these ministers are actually taking care of them and not building, you know, like I was pointing out, these luxurious accommodations that you see in the priests and high priests at the time of Christ that were more luxurious than those of Herod. The same as you can go, I can give you a long, long list of ministers who are millionaires serving people who are not millionaires. Christ was rich. Christ was literally a millionaire. Yeah, it says in the Bible, though he was rich, he made himself poor. People will argue, oh, well, he wasn't rich, but yet we know his uncle was one of the richest men in all of the Roman Empire, Joseph of Arimathea. Well known how wealthy he was. Had lead mines and all sorts of interests all over the Roman Empire. Well known and documented that he was a rich, rich, rich man. And he's Jesus' uncle. He's Mary's, you know, uncle. So you don't think Joseph was wealthy? Joseph was a wealthy contractor who actually went and worked in Egypt during the time when they fled in Egypt, got prestigious positions of construction. Probably not a carpenter, probably more stonemason, but basically a contractor. Jesus gave all that up to be a minister of God's kingdom. And the apostles gave that up to be a ministers of God's kingdom. And that's what's required to be one of those called out ministers. The Levites gave that up to be a minister in God's kingdom. It is really an amazing thing. We have all this in the Free Church Report. You can get free copies of it. If you're clever, you can find it on your own. If you want, you can join the Living Network and there'll be a minister who will send you a copy of it. And you can find out exactly how it is that the early church was formed and why it formed, the ministers formed a body politic. If your congregations form a body politic, if they somehow incorporate themselves either as an unincorporated association or corporation, they will taint what they're doing. They will be treated as a corporation of the state. The only way to do this is do it like the Levites did it, like the early church did it. That's the only way I could find to do it. We need to be seeking the kingdom of heaven and God's righteousness, not the kingdom of the congregation or even of the church. You know, the church is just an instrument of God's will. And if you see a minister who you don't think is a minister of God's will, don't give him anything. That's freedom. That's liberty. But if you don't care about your neighbor as much as you care about yourself, you shouldn't be free. You are slothful in the ways of God and the righteousness of God. So anyway, we're going to need to take a break. I don't know if this is the end of the show or not. Cheryl will let us know. And if it is the end of the show, peace on your house, and may God be with you. Until next time, God bless.
Okay, well, actually, we have another half hour for Brother Gregory if we can convince him to stay.
He'll stay.
Okay, good. Okay. All right. Be right back with you after this short commercial message. Okay, well, we know what Brother Gregory's answer to that is connect with your people in the network. HisHolyChurch.org is where you can sign up for all that information. I'm sure he'll tell you more about it. So we'll go back live with Brother Gregory.
Well, welcome back. Yeah, we'll do this half hour, and we'll kind of focus on this, kind of run to the end of this document, this 15-page document. I still have a few more notes. I'll kind of incorporate them into some of the other things that have been going on this week. I was in contact with a fellow in the Netherlands, and he was pointing out that they just passed a law in the United States where they don't have to label where your meat comes from in the store. It can come from Brazil. It can come from China. It can come from almost anywhere. And there can be all kinds of toxins in meat. And the government has actually gone to the trouble of making a law saying you don't have to label where it's coming from. At the same time, just a month or so ago, they raided a place that was not paying taxes in China on meat that it was selling. Some of the meat they were selling was over 40 years old. It was actually been in a freezer for over 40 years, and they were selling it, but they weren't paying the taxes, so that's why they got raided. It wasn't because they might be selling something that wasn't healthy. The fact is there's a spirit that's flowing through society that is doing things like creating GMOs and putting hormones and antibiotics in meats and foods. And the spirit is saying, yeah, that's okay. Now, there's something deep down in a person's gut that tells them, you know, in their psychological, spiritual gut. You remember, everything in the physical world has a spiritual counterpart. We don't understand. Most people don't think in the spirit. Their spirit will tell them, you know, like something's wrong here. Something is not quite right here. And they'll either listen to it or they won't. But you need to be still and listen to it. That's why I don't want you to be afraid of things that are coming. We just heard a commercial a little bit ago on the station about prepping. Yeah, everybody, and the interesting thing, this fellow in the Netherlands, he doesn't buy his meat in the regular stores. He has connections where he gets clean meat from people he actually knows, which is really a trick in the Netherlands, because, I mean, they've used a lot. They're actually now, the government's even going the other way. They're trying to clean up because they know how they polluted the food chain so badly. And that's why you find in Europe, many of the countries are outlawing GMOs, because they've already run the gambit of how toxic they've made their food supply. That's ramping up in America. They're making laws all the time that make it more and more difficult to get good food, which is good, because what that's going to do for those of you who are not slothful, you're going to actually get in contact with CSAs, community supported agriculture. And as a congregation, you can do this much more efficiently. And as congregations of congregations, you can do it even more efficiently, because you're going to get in touch with actual farmers in your local community that is producing food that is clean or relatively clean. You can't go by organic labels. You know, like we have a hay field down here that we lease from somebody, and we produce hay on it for our livestock, which our livestock hasn't had vaccinations for generations. They haven't had hormones for generations and generations. You know, I always kid people who are total vegetarians. I'm not a vegetarian. I could be a vegetarian. I mean, I'm okay not eating meat, but I happen to raise sheep and cows, so we do eat meat. But I say, well, I'm not really a vegetarian. I will eat other vegetarians, but I only eat vegetarians I know. In other words, I not only know the animal that I'm eating on my plate, I know its mother, its grandmother, its great-grandmother, and its great-great-grandmother, and maybe even farther back than that. And so we raise clean food here, and we know other people who do also. We also know people that are still being tempted. We actually know somebody who put in a GMO field of alfalfa. That's top biologists in the world are telling us that that's going to lead to famine, this fast track, and you can actually see it. We see the field of GMO alfalfa that they put in. It's terrible. It's not nearly the producer. The only reason that they use that is because it's Roundup ready. And so you have to put tons of Roundup to kill out the weeds. And if they don't put the tons of Roundup on, the weeds just take over in the field. The weeds are worse in the Roundup ready fields because the plant is not as hardy. And then you feed that not so hardy plant to your animals, and then you eat the animals. You're poisoning your generation. And it's because the spirit of covetousness in you is leading you down a path to destruction. The same spirit was alive and well in Rome. And all the things, I tell people this all the time, if you want to know the future, study the past. Rome collapsed under a system of social welfare, its universal health care. But worse than that, as a society, it was already collapsing and degenerating. Christians came along as a reaction to that. They began to form the brotherhood necessary. You cannot, like the commercial said, you can't depend upon any government or church or anything to take care of you. You have to take care of yourself. Well, the fact is, that's what one of the requirements of the church is, that you're seeking the kingdom of God, which is the right to be ruled by God, and the righteousness of God. That's what you're seeing. Well, the righteousness of God is that you grow your own food. You produce whatever it is you produce that you can trade for those items you can't grow. I can tell you this, you cannot do it all. You cannot produce everything you need unless you have a lot less needs than you've had in the past. I mean, but together, as a community, you can seek that utopian independence. But even that won't be enough. You know, like Amish people, you know, when the cities are starving and there's no food, people will pour out of the cities like rats on a sinking ship, and they're going to go to Amish farms, and they're going to take them over. And the shotguns ain't going to do it. They're ill prepared. What are you going to do? What you need to do is be friends with CSA farmers who already are listening to that spirit of righteousness that says, "Hey, I don't want to put these chemicals in my food." I shared with a fellow from Netherlands on his Facebook, something somebody had sent to me about a guy who's like fifth generation rancher out there in the Midwest, South Midwest, and his cows, his great great grandfather brought there to that valley, and he says back in the 50s, they started going with factory production farm. And he said this cost them in genetic integrity. It cost the land. It cost the health and well-being of the animals. And so now he's raising a multitude of animals. He's raising them in a much more natural environment. He's not doing the hormones. He's not doing the chemical fertilizer. He says it was a struggle. Something in him was awakening him to that. He was listening to another spirit. Now we got to take it a step farther towards the kingdom. See, you don't have to take every step at once, at least not now. Now, when the system collapses, you'll have to take the remaining steps, and it's going to be quite a jump for some of you. But if you start gathering together now, start working together now, your children will be smarter, your children will be taller, stronger, healthier, wiser, and you'll be better prepared for whatever comes. You'll be connected with other people that are not just trying to save themselves, because that's one of the big problems with preppers, is they're all about saving themselves. They're interested in personally surviving. Well, if you're in a foxhole with nothing but survivalists, when you run out of beans, you're on the menu. You want to be in that foxhole with people who want to serve one another. They want to survive, but they want you to survive as much as they want to survive themselves. And the reason you want that is, one, is it makes way more sense. It's just absolutely a wiser thing to do. Just common sense will tell you. But the other reason why, because it opens a door to a wider door to that Spirit of God. This is why there were instantaneous healings amongst Christians. Why that certain men, they just walk in their shadows and you could be healed. Because you were receptive to the Spirit of life that giveth life. And it began to flow in you as you began to lay down your life for your fellow man. You remember the quote where it says, "No greater love has a man that he laid down his life for his fellow man." If you want life more abundant, you're supposed to lay down your life. That doesn't mean you have to jump on a grenade. It means you have to give up of yourself, genuinely caring about others. You know, like at the beginning of the program, I talked about the anonymous video with where they were helping Stefan. You can probably Google it. Anonymous and the word Stefan, you'll probably find the video. Well put together video, great music. You see people weeping and caring. You see compassion. But what's Stefan going to do next week? You have to care about each other for the long haul. Because it's going to be a long haul. It's going to happen quickly, but it's going to be a long haul. And you have to work together to make it happen in righteousness and in truth. That's just the way it has to operate. What we've been doing is putting together this network, and you can find us at hisholychurch.org, and you can find us at preparingyou.com. And preparingyou.com is a wiki site. So if you have skills, knowledge, information that you want to share with others, you can become an editor on that site and add your articles to it and become a part of the network. You can join the network there. There are network links at all of our websites. We have quite a few websites. I can't even list them all. I don't even know them all because other people in the network are creating, you know, sites like the Higher Liberty, and they're a part of our network. Most of what goes on in the network you will not see on the internet, because we're not just on the internet. We're real people. We're not only interested in, you know, in stocking up, although, you know, I don't really stock up that much. I'm interested in stocking up on relationships with other people and getting them, you know, I've already laid down my approach to things and put everything out on the line a long time ago. My kids are all grown and very independent lot. Nobody and I, my family's on welfare. they may not all be employed, but they're all working and supporting themselves, and take care of themselves and one another. And we're now extending that spirit out to hundreds of other people, maybe thousands of other people. I don't even know how many people are involved. I don't need to know. It's not central organization. I'm kind of a lightning rod here because I'm kind of stuck up. But if I were to go, the people need to have that network relationships already in place to take care of one another. And that's why, one of the reasons why we've offered a discipleship program here, where we're going to be taking on probably one or two at first to work here. We have somebody here already, but he's kind of been walking the paces for a while. We have others that are on the road. We have missionaries that are traveling around that can meet you. You got to get into the network, because we're not going to put all that up on the net necessarily, although some of it is. And so that we get to know you and you get to know us, and then we share with you and you share with us as you see fit. I mean, it's liberty and freedom is about responsibility. It's not about somebody making up a bunch of rules that you have to follow. There are certain rules, like the law of gravity, which you can't escape. The law of recompense, you can't escape. The karma of reality, you know, what goes around comes around. If you align yourself with a spirit of fear and anxiety and greed and covetousness, you're going to be devoured by the spirit of greed and covetousness and despotism. But if you align yourself with the spirit of righteousness and giving life and sharing life, wisely sharing life. See, that was one of the things in that video. Everybody was giving him money, and I'm sure it helped him out. But what about the people who weren't on the street that needed help? Did anybody go looking for them? That's what we do. We're looking for those people who are looking for righteousness to help them. We're also looking for people who may not be looking for righteousness now, but may be willing to receive it. And, you know, it's we're operating in a physical world on a spiritual plane, which means that we actually give you real bread if you are hungry. We don't just give you a crumb, a wafer, Eucharist wafer. We'll actually give you a real loaf of bread. And it probably will be made from non-GMO grain. So, and it will go with it, with that physical object that we would give you, will go a spirit that's incorporated into that physical object. And that will actually touch your life in ways you cannot see because it's on a spiritual plane. And then hopefully now, if you want the flow to begin, you have to turn around and give it to somebody else. It's like, you know, somebody gave some money to a guy who is homeless on the street, and then they followed him with a secret camera to see what he would do. I think they gave him $100 or something. And they follow him, and he goes into a liquor store. And they thought, oh, my gosh, he's going into a liquor store to get a bunch of booze. And they came out with his sack, and they followed him and see where he goes. And he went to the park when he met with other guys who were homeless. And he started pulling out food that he was sharing with them. He says, well, somebody gave me $100. I have to go share it with my other homeless comrades. And they went up and interviewed him, and they said, you had us worried. He said, oh, you thought I was going to go in there and buy liquor, didn't you? We have a lot higher class homeless person than we used to have. Because you're not very far away from being homeless yourself. It can happen to almost anybody. But how are you going to find those other people that when things get really bad will stick by you? You can't tell. You can't tell just by looking at them. You can't tell because, you know, they wear 2-inch suspenders or, you know, or what. You tell, and as a matter of fact, you'll never know until the time comes. And you may be surprised who it is who shows up on your behalf and is there for you. And really, it's not about who's going to show up for you. If you're always thinking in those terms, that's not good. It's who are you going to show up for? Because ultimately, things are going to get so bad, no amount of prepping, no size of your network is going to save you. I mean, it is going to be that bad. I mean, literally, it's going to be so bad that all life on the face of the earth would perish without a miracle. But, of course, there will be a miracle, and all life will not perish. But it will perish for many who began by trying to save their own life. Because, see, that right there, it's not the Spirit of God. If God was all about his own life, he would have never given you life. He would have never breathed life into you. He would have never created this world. I mean, who needs this headache? He did it out of love. If you want his spirit to flow through you and through your community, you need to come together out of love for one another. Christ was preaching an anarchy of love. in one of our articles on anarchy, we referred to the beloved anarchist, which is Christ. John the Baptist. He didn't want you to get your social welfare by force. He wanted you to get it by sharing, by charity. Moses said the same thing. Although you never see the word charity in the Old Testament, you see the words free will offering. You see them organizing in the tens, fifties, hundreds, and thousands. You see them doing that because that's the structure. It's not like, you know, you're going to get a congregational fine because you didn't actually form a congregation. Nobody's going to penalize you. Even the building codes that he wrote down to try to explain to you how responsible you had to get. You know, if you don't put a railing around your balcony, you may be held responsible if somebody falls off that you invited up because you created a hazardous situation and you brought them into it. Something that was obviously hazardous. You dug a pit, obviously hazardous. You had a bull that tried to gore everybody that came around and you didn't do anything about it. You didn't accept the responsibility, so you may be held responsible for what happens because of what you've done or didn't do. But nobody came and fined you, charged you because you didn't build a railing, because you didn't buckle up your safety belt. But they also didn't have to pay for your hospital bill either. There's no entitlement. If you want to be free, you must set your neighbor free. You must care about your neighbor's freedom and his life as much as you care about your own. And only the people who do that should survive. Most of those who survive will be the people who do that. I can't guarantee that you'll survive. But then nobody can do that but God himself. But it's the only thing that makes sense to me. That's what we must do. That is the Father's will, to become the titular leaders of a network of people who actually care about each other and righteousness and liberty and freedom and health and well-being of their neighbors as they do themselves. And we see a division taking place in society, where you have this angry group on one side that will actually burn down their own community out of hatred and anger. They'll actually come in and throw excrement on people and swear and cuss like they're right out of the pit of hell itself, because we don't agree with what the unnatural things that they want to do. The reality is they are given over to that spirit. And you're given over to a spirit. Now, this is your choice. What spirit do you want to align yourself with? What direction do you want to walk in? Do you want to try to control the world, or you want to try to set the world free? Because if you try to set the world free, you might be free yourself. But you have to do it in earnest. You have to do it in the name of Christ. Rebuking those who need rebuke. Helping those who may need help. Forgiving those who spitefully use you so that you may be forgiven. You're setting in motion a spiritual DNA sequence that will alter you both spiritually and physically by following the way of Christ. The churches aren't doing that. They're entertaining you. They're making you feel good, like that video, the anonymous video. I'm sure it made a lot of those people feel good. It pulled on their heartstrings. And that's fine. But you cannot let yourself think that that is the totality. You need to graduate to the ways of righteousness. Those men who set out in the early church, those men who set out in the early Israelites, who went out there and faced that desert, face the hardships that were coming just to be free, backed each other up, helped each other, blessed each other. Wow. That they became so healthy, so strong, so invincible that they just came into communities and people said, we want to be a part of that. And there was always the elite, though, the pharaohs and the despots and the tyrants who will want to destroy that. And you'll see them, too. But if you want to have power over them, and I've told you many stories, mystical power over that to stop it. I mean, it's not your power. If you want that power to be with you, you need to repent. Start doing it the way Christ said to do it. Stop playing church. Start being the kingdom. And that's where we're trying to take people. If you're interested in discipleship, if you're interested in learning more, if you're interested in connecting with other people who are beginning to understand this 10 family concept, that where you get tens, hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands, then let's get together. Join us at Preparing You, at His Holy Church. Join the network. Become a part of, it doesn't take that much time. It's as much time as you want to give. Everything is voluntary. But there's some really bright people that are starting to become a part of this. And the more we gather, the stronger each of us will get, or we'll have to get, because we'll come face to face with our own weaknesses. And that's the key, is it's an inner journey in the world. Anyway, until then, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.